Mickey Hart here. You're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour, brought to you by AIB. Today we're going to talk to Cara Finn's Michael Lundy. He's only back from New York, and he came back a month before the county final, and he's obviously helped Cara Finn win a Connacht title, so we'll be talking to him soon. Mikey and Conan are away on holidays, so today I'm joined by John Fogarty from the Irish Examiner, who's just back from Dubai on a nice little jolly with the All-Stars. John, handy one when you can get them.
I have no colour anyway, Wally.
You actually don't have a colour, no. Spent in the hotels and the bars, I suppose.
Spent asleep, Wally. Spent asleep and behaving ourselves like most of us do. Doing a bit of work as well, I'm sure you've seen now with our Uachtaráin. Egan O'Farrell, a lot of interviews yesterday.
I saw that actually, and there was a lot of group interviews, and I'm just wondering, when you're at the All-Star trip, is the access unlimited, or do you have to actually wait for, you know, structured interview, you know, opportunities, or what's the situation out there?
There's a bit of column A and column B there. You have to be wary that the guys are on holiday and relaxing themselves, you know what I mean? You don't want to be, you know, telling tales, so to speak, and you don't want to be perturbing them in any way, shape or form. But, you know, some guys you do get on with better than others, and those usually lead to interviews. But most of the time, there was a bit of structure. So, and then after the game, or when I say game, I use that word loosely because it was very disappointing. And, you know, the players knew it themselves. There were a few of them embarrassed about it afterwards.
Really?
So, yeah, and they were coming up with it, ideas themselves. How to improve it.
What, like stay in the night before maybe?
They were fresher. You know, usually the game is on the Sunday of the All-Stars week, the finale. So, you know, by that stage, they're allowed to enjoy themselves and imbibe and have the crack. But this came after 2 days because of the Formula One. The game was in Abu Dhabi, and because we were staying in Dubai, but the game was in Abu Dhabi. And because they only had 2 nights of leisurely activities, they were a lot fresher than you would expect. But the guys, these guys are so mindful. They would have been getting text messages off their managers going over, mind yourself, take it handy. Johnny Cooper played one half. Ryan McHugh played one half. Anthony Maher didn't do anything. He's recovering from injury.
Really? And why did the two lads only play a half? They're carrying Knox?
Just carrying Knox, yeah. Just minding themselves a bit.
Right. Because it must have been really hot out there for it. Would that have an effect on the game?
The game was played in the evening. It was about 25 degrees. It was actually balmy. It wasn't too hot at all. It was hot about half an hour before the game, and then there was a bit of cloud cover on it. And it was actually, it looked enjoyable. But then a few of the journalists were out on the pitch beforehand, and the pitch wouldn't be the best in the world. It was a bit patchy in a couple of places. So you're thinking, these guys will have to mind themselves. And they did. It's an exhibition game. But after 5 minutes, the applause stopped. They realised what they were, the guys realised what, on the sidelines realised what they were seeing was a bit of a sham in a way, you know. But, you know, there was a couple out there trying themselves. The Tyrone boys were certainly trying themselves because Mickey Hart was there, and a couple of Tip boys, and Bernard Brogan put on a bit of a show as well. But for the most part, the lads were minding themselves, and that's understandable. But I think they would like to see it. The players themselves would like to do something meaningful in terms of, you know, if something was on the line, say if, you know, all of them got the winner team got €1,000 to donate to charity, each of them to their nominated charity, that might...
Some incentive, and have it early in the tour as well, and then you can relax after it rather than...
Even the first day of it, but then again, you have to be mindful of jet lag and things like that. You don't want any guy doing anything stupid, but the guys enjoy themselves, but... It would be better to see a more improved game, because what we've seen over the last few years now, like, I didn't carry any of a report. I carried the Peter Acheson story, which was Peter talking about why he's going to stay over in Dubai. He's a very good job there now, and, you know, he's 26 years of age. He still has enough time to come back, but what you're seeing with a lot of the expats over there is they're earning their money for a couple of years, saving their mortgage deposit, coming back over, and, you know, they're as happy as Larry.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday I'll get on that trip. I never got on it as a player. Maybe as a journo I'll get on this jolly, but it's not looking good for me yet anyways. Well, I have the Woolley Awards to fall back on. Maybe I'll get a sponsor for that and go away myself or something like that. First off, John, I want to talk to you about, this is a weird story that it just came to my attention during the week, and it's Niall Deasy. And it's Ballyea's Niall Deasy, and we all remember him, man of the match obviously against Tyrrell Sarsfields, played really well in the county final and, you know, won a Munster club hurling with his club Ballyea. And then you're scratching your head because he played a Division 2 league game with Parnells here in Dublin last week. And I'm like, how the hell is that after happening? And he's due to play a Division 2 final this Sunday against Oliver Plunkett's. So I made a couple of phone calls, rang the Dublin County Board Chairman, rang the Clare County Board Chairman. And as it turns out, Niall Deasy, this is a classic now. This is real, this is typical GAA. I didn't even know that this was possible. Niall Deasy transferred to Parnells, an inter-county transfer in June, the 27th of June, it's on the GAA website. He inter-county transferred to Dublin, played one league game with Parnells, then transferred back to Clare. Played championship with Clare. You can actually play league and championship with different clubs in different counties. Mm-hmm. Like it just never happens, you know, not usually, but you can do that if you want. So because he played one game in Dublin before he transferred back to Clare to play a championship, he is entitled to finish that competition out. So now the league is just finishing in Dublin. So now he's able to play a Division 2 final while he's waiting for an All-Ireland semi-final with his other club in Clare. Isn't that a crazy story?
It goes against the spirit of the GAA. You know, now, listen, loopholes are there to be exploited. We see them all the time. The blood sub rule would be a big hobby horse of mine. I think a few people would know that, the amount of times they go on about it, and the GAA still haven't done anything to address it. It's still there to be exploited. So we shouldn't be surprised. I completely agree, Jolie. It's mad. But at the same time, I'm not surprised that people are finding these opportunities or wiggle room. You know, that would be probably another word for people or another phrase for people to use. But it's going on around the country. Like, you know, there's guys who play for two clubs, you know, in Dublin and Mayo this year and things like that.
Now DC can't have played league with Ballyea. You can't play both. Yeah. You know, you can play league with one and championship with another. And like, I mean, geez, you learn something new every day, you know, that this is even possible. But the other side of it is, and this is another, the Dublin County Board Chairman said, some fellas who live in Dublin from Leitrim or from Mayo can't make it back for league games. Leagues in some counties are not really important. So they get good league, you know, standard league games in Dublin and then are primed and, you know, ready to go back and play a championship with their clubs. So in that kind of context, you can maybe say, right, there's a purpose for it. But to just transfer, get one league game out of the way, then go back and then be back for the business end of the league, that doesn't really sound right to me.
Yeah, even if most people, their modus operandi is genuine enough, there's still one or two, as we know, abusing it. And it's for them that I think the rules should change because, you know, listen, we're probably still in our heads thinking back to a time, you know, where you played, you know, it was one life, one county, if we remember
one life, one club.
We all know that. I know people who have a lot of clubs over the wild. But
if you count American clubs, that could be up to six or seven, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, we probably still have that traditional sense in our heads, a lot of us, as much as, you know, some of us aren't aware of just the reality of life, the reality that some guys in the West, you know, have to move up here and, you know, they have to get their football into them. Like, we were talking to Carl Mannion at a gig there the other week, and I'm sure the Bridget's lads are sore this week after what happened to them at the weekend. But, you know, Carl, for 16, 17 years, has been travelling back to Bridget's to play for them. He never even considered it. I'm sure he was approached. He's that good a footballer. Yeah. He would have been approached up here. But he's one of the traditional guys. And in fairness, getting down to Roscommon, it wouldn't be as hard as getting down to South Kerry or, you know, West Clare or up to the tail end of Mayo in that way. But I just think it goes completely against the spirit of the rule, and it has to change because
it does. Yeah. And I think as well, one thing that might stop this, if you're going to transfer to play league in Dublin, then you have to play every league game. You can't just do it and say, right, I'll play one, I'm going to head back down, and then I'll help you out then at the business end. You know what I mean? You're either doing it for genuine reasons, and you have to play a minimum four or five games, six games. And that might see more genuine cases doing it. Like, I don't know. I know Niall Deasy, he lives and works in Dublin. So like, it probably was a pain in his arse. So maybe there's genuine reasons there as well. We don't know until we talk to him. But, you know, on the face of it, it just looks bizarre that a fella's waiting for an All-Ireland semi-final and he's playing a league final in Dublin.
Yeah.
Just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. It's pick and choosers. It's like guys going to the Mass on Christmas Day and Patrick's Day and leaving it for the rest of the year, you know. They're picking and choosing when they want to go.
Yeah, yeah. And look, those people are bad, right? You have to be going to Mass every Sunday. Listen, club year calendar schedule, this is something that's been going on for a while since the FRC proposed it. I'm 100% in agreement with it. I think it's a great idea. I've been in the horrible situation of winning a Leinster club in 2004 and having an 11-week break. It is terrible. You shouldn't have a quarter of a year in between, you know, before a really important game. You've three clubs now that won at the weekend. You've Cara Finn in football. You've Crokes, and you have up north Slotnail. And they have 11 weeks break, so they have to actually come. I'm going to talk to Michael Lundy a little bit about this. Do you get time off? Do you come back in January with pre-season training before like a really important game and, you know, suck the life out of your legs? So you lose all momentum and all form, and you're pretty much starting from scratch, like a first league game with your club, but it's an All-Ireland semi-final. So you have no idea what your form is like. So 100%, it should be within the calendar year. Now, where is this? Is this just gone away, John?
No, this is Pádraig Duffy's baby. And this, I see Pádraig hoping to do this before he steps down as DG, whenever that is. You know, Pádraig came in on, you know, saying that the club fixtures was something that he wanted to address. And it's something, not through any fault of his own, it's basically getting county boards on side and what have you. And we all know they can be reluctant, especially dual counties. There's a lot of merit in the calendar year, but there's also a couple of issues as well. Like, you know, I completely take your point about the 11-week break, and you asked Dr. Crokes, probably the team that has suffered the most.
Yeah, they can't get the formula right at all.
Exactly, and they're you know, they look at O'Moore Park now and they curse the place because, you know, it's where Gooch broke his legs, where they lost definitely a couple of All-Ireland semi-finals. So you're looking at guys like that. But then you're looking at the romance of it all, and I'd say the romantic argument is suffering now, because over the Christmas there's a lovely feeling, I would imagine, you know, the build up to February or whatever. It's a great opportunity to fundraise for guys, especially through January and what have you, but at the same time it's becoming the bane of these successful clubs' lives at the moment, because having to raise yourself again, it doesn't feel like the same competition, I would imagine, in a way, for some people.
It's not. And another thing as well that needs to be mentioned is these lads, like the big clubs that make this far in the competition would have five or six inter-county standard players. They're not around for, you know, the meetings. They're not around for the Auburn Cups, the pre-season Cups. They're not even around for half of the league. So they're landing in kind of like imposters into the middle of a squad. And it's just a weird dynamic to have to put up with as well. So like, it really should just end at the end of the year and everybody starts scratch again. But I know your point, and I know the fact that they couldn't even get a 2-week, you know, movement of the All-Ireland finals backwards to make more room for this, and that's what Pádraig Duffy tried to do. So unless they get the All-Ireland finals moved back, like you say, the likes of Tipperary or strong dual counties, can they run them off in time for this?
There's going to be a huge amount of regrading, and Tipperary know there's too many senior teams there at the moment, both in football and hurling woolly. They'd have far too many teams. For the dual counties, it would take an exceptional amount of work to get these games done in time, and you could see the possibility where some of these dual counties, just like we've seen with Tipperary and with Waterford, as much as Waterford don't have as much excuse, like we've seen them having to give walkovers in provincial club championships.
Yeah.
And that runs against the grain of, you know, a championship that is, or championships that are regarded as the toughest, and rightfully so. But, you know, when guys are saying, you know, we can't play in it, it's more like the toughest to actually participate in, because they can't get it. True, the dual counties are the real stumbling block here. But should they be punished? Should they be hurt just because they have too many, or that they contribute so much to both games? You know,
it
would be a shame, Willie, if this was, and as much as there's a lot of good work behind this calendar year proposal, it would be a shame if we saw counties having to concentrate on one sport. Like, you know, the gains that football that Tipperary have made in football this year has been incredible.
Yeah.
We wouldn't like to see them going back too much. Galway as well, okay. Galway football and hurling, you know, they've been knocking on the door for so many years now in hurling. It seems like they might do something now in the next couple of years, football wise. But it would be a shame to see them prioritise one over the other. I know Wexford have had to do it, you know, Wexford football had their time in the sun, but there was too many dual players there, and now we're seeing a tilt towards the hurling again. That's the worry there. You asked me where is it at this moment in time. It got the movement of the All-Ireland Finals back to August. That got a simple majority at Congress earlier this year. It'll be on the clawr again, I would imagine.
It'll be on again for next year, because without that, without the All-Irelands moving, there's not enough room. And that's just where it is. So Central Council have agreed to it in principle, but there's not enough real room for a jet unless we can get this through Congress, the motion to move the All-Ireland Finals backwards, and that's it.
And I think it'll get the 66% majority as well this time around. I think there's enough goodwill behind it, because the traditionalists will say, you know, what about September? You know, it's usually owned by the GAA, but you know what? For the sake of the clubs.
Move on. I think when you sell it like that as well, because people say on one hand, oh, the clubs, but then they won't allow this. And there's a complete contradiction there. You know, you either want your club to have time to play it off or stop worrying about this September kind of traditional idea that it's meant for inter-county. There's loads of news this week, and I want to talk to you about this Galway thing as well, because Galway want to play some home games in Leinster. Like, they've come out, you know, and they're complaining about the fact that they have to go away all the time. Now, they're in Leinster. No Leinster County is supporting this, which is not a surprise. You know, they don't want to go away. Galway are not a Leinster County. They don't want to have it travel so far. Salt Hill is a good spin for some counties, and they don't want to do it. Every Leinster council voted against this. Now, there's another way of looking at it. It's only one game. Like, it's usually just a quarter final. Like, the semi-finals and final are at neutral venues. So Galway only have to travel for one. So I don't think this is the biggest problem Galway have. I would think the underage teams not being allowed to participate in Leinster is a bigger issue for them than this home and away thing.
And you ask a lot of people in Galway, and if you said you could pick one over the other, a lot of them would probably go with the under 21 and the minor, because, you know, but I can see it from one side with the Leinster County. They see Galway as a cuckoo that's coming to their nest. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's pushing everything out. And yet they're happy enough to take the money and the gate receipts that are made by Galway. And they have been quite significant over the last while, Willie. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But the minor under 21 argument, big time for it. But clearly, Aegan O'Farrell, the GA president, he was talking to us in Dubai on Sunday about it. And he strongly wants to do something for Galway before he finishes up in, 13-14 months' time. Whether he can do it or not is a big question, because there doesn't seem to be much appetite, as you said, for Leinster counties to incorporate Galway as a fully-fledged member, you know.
Like, no, and why would they when you look at it? Because Galway are so strong. They've won so many minor under-21 All-Irelands. Mm-hmm. They're a huge match for any, you know, county. Why are Leinster counties voting on this? Like, why are they ever get in? If this should be taken out of their hands, you know. If
turkeys for Christmas,
it is, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's democracy, but it's not democracy at all, because they've vested interest to not allow Galway in. So, surely to God, for these young fellas to get games, like, this decision should be taken above. Like, it shouldn't go for a vote among Leinster counties. There's some things just shouldn't be put for a vote. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and I think the Leinster chairman, John Horne, now, and in fairness, John Horne, you know, some people would say, you know, I'd be able to...
Can the Leinster Council rule this above without a vote? No.
No, right. No. But
everything in the GAA has to go through this kind of process.
Yeah, but this is what we're talking about. We're talking about venues. We're talking about underage. It's a bigger issue than that now, because Galway are involved and they're so peeved with the whole thing. What we don't want to go back to is Galway sitting on their hands up until an All-Ireland semi-final, as we remember back in the day. And let's be honest, there's a lot of traditionalists in Galway wouldn't mind seeing that, because they won All-Irelands when that was happening. You know, they haven't won an All-Ireland since that has happened, you know, since they've had to work their way. Now that we all know they've got close and they're not afraid of competition, but I still be of the mind, just like football wise I'd love to see provincials, but we all know they're going to stay there. I'd love to see them played on a home and away basis, each team guaranteed 2 or 3 games. It would be lovely to see Galway get more. I think Leinster would be happy with that, if, you know, just say Wexford got 2 home games every year and Galway got 2 home games every year. I don't think they would have an issue with that. It's just if Galway got a Pearse Stadium 1 year and there was nothing for Wexford or Offaly, you know. But This is also, you know, this is a huge symptom of how badly Leinster have treated Hurling over the last while for themselves. You know, Kilkenny, listen, they, you know, it's no surprise that people are looking to Kilkenny at the moment and looking for their coaches, looking for their experts. Martin Fogarty has a big job now in terms of developing the game in the province, because you look at Offaly now and it's quite embarrassing for them how they've fallen back. They never made enough of their golden generation. They took it for granted that things were going to follow suit. They might get a golden generation again, but they're going to have to build from the bottom up, and yeah, we're not going to see Offaly come for a long, long time.
And now they have the office situation, the embarrassing situation of their manager leaving them to go manage Laois, which is absolutely fantastic stuff for us. They're bitter rivals. The thing about this, and I was told by Leinster Council PRO Pat Tehan, that Galway don't necessarily need to be voted in like this. If there was even one or two counties in Leinster that were for them, they could organise between themselves a home and away agreement. But there's no county wants to even go into this kind of deal with them at all. Like, there's no support whatsoever for them on this.
Yeah, and the thing about it is Wexford Park is a place where you can host a championship game. Ennis isn't. Not really, you know what I mean? Not a huge one. If it was Clare Galway, you know, Ennis would struggle to cope with the demand for that, just like Walsh Park would be in Waterford. Leinster are stadium rich. Munster, as much as Páirc Uí Chaoimh is under redevelopment at the moment, is not stadium rich. So Clare wouldn't mind, I would imagine, having to go up to Pearce Stadium to play a match, providing that they got their slice of the pie. You know, Waterford certainly couldn't host a championship match against Galway.
The other three, Limerick, Tipperary and Cork, obviously Cork could. And if
Kerry, the way they're going, but again, you know, with the comeback into the calendar year, you know, I mean, you'd have to worry about Kerry Hurling and just how many advances they can make over the next while.
Yeah, Pat actually said to me that he can't see Galway underage teams ever being accepted into Leinster, but what he can see is the Leinster finalists are going to a qualifier system, then Galway can get into that, you know, and get maybe one or two games before an All-Ireland semi-final, and that seems to be maybe a compromise, and it just makes no sense to me why that hasn't happened already.
Yeah, and there's also, again, tradition is something we've talked about a lot, Wally, but it was an issue for a lot of people in Kilkenny that the Bob O'Keefe Cup went across the Shannon that year, and it was a huge motivation
really?
For them. Yeah, and you can imagine what it would be like for other counties, and you would imagine they do feel the same way, you know. These are imposters, you know. We've only brought them in out of the goodness of our own heart.
Yeah, but and now they want the home game, the cheek of them.
The cheek of them, you know. But again, like, it's another side issue as well. But Pearce Stadium, you know, we all know how much the wind can play havoc with things there.
One venue that's a real home advantage venue, isn't it? Pearce Stadium, Galway are good there. They know Pearce Stadium, you know.
They would know it well too. But I just fear for the fair, you know, the game of two halves. That's Pearce Stadium in a nutshell.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the classic Davy Fitzgerald. He's up and running with Wexford. He's planning 5 challenge games in December. He has his 3 early season cup games in January, and he wants 2 more challenge games. He's going to have 10 games, 3 competitive and 7 challenge games before the league starts in February. Davy does not do things by halves, and this is not even including the probably 4 a.m. training sessions on Christmas morning, etc., etc. So, you know, it's more of the same of Davy. And look, listen, this formula has worked for him in the past, so there's no reason to say, you know, it won't whip Wexford into shape.
Well, nobody can say he won't know the team afterwards, will he? Yeah. He won't know his players.
He says he's 41 on his panel, so he needs, like, obviously, we're not saying the same lads are going to be flogged. You know, he'll be alternating, but like 41, you can only mix and match that so many times. You'll be playing every second week. I think it's a lot in December and January. Like, it is a lot in December and January before, because it's a long season. And we saw with Clare last year, they went flat out in January, won 5 in a row, they won the league, and all of a sudden lads have nothing left come the championship. So you'd be worried that Davy might be making some same mistakes there, but at the same time, like Clare last year, Wexford need to establish themselves back, you know, and have a good league to get the confidence going. So it's getting that mix right for him.
The 2 years, I'd be surprised if Davy does more than 2 years there, because I think he has that sort of...
He's a Mourinho, isn't he?
He has that. He'll be known as the littlest hobo of Hurling, you know. We might see him one day and then he's gone off again. And Davy, I was talking to him there recently. He says, I'm definitely having a break after the next time.
Well, he said that after after the after he lost Clare's job, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He said he was going to have a break, but what we defined as a break, well, he is not a break.
Yeah. Davey's addicted to it, isn't he? Like Davey will not take a break. It's just not in Davey's nature to take a break. He'll do another county after Wexford. I think he'll do well. He'll be successful with Wexford. He's got a lot to work with there.
But we saw a couple of years ago how passionate Wexford get when they get put a result
tradition
together. Yeah, and when they see if they see Davey is fully behind it, and that sort of a pre-season schedule would suggest that he is fully behind us and he wants to know the best team and he's not doing things by halves, then that'll resonate with them and that'll certainly appeal to them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. It's going to be like Wexford are just box office now. We mentioned on the podcast with Banty and with Davey, and I don't think they've any jewel fellas, do they? Because I'd love to hear the conversation between the two lads arguing over a jewel fella.
Could you imagine being a fly in the wall for that? It's two of the most passionate but absolutely stubborn men you'll ever meet. But two of the greats. Like the fact that, you know, Banty, it's Division 4, but people still will want to know when they're
Wexford have done very well. Wexford County Board have done very well recruiting those two managers for the level that both of the teams are at.
Yeah, they did. And you know, Devereaux will have a legacy after this because he finishes up as chairman, but at least he'll be able to say, you know, I have two seriously high profile guys in there.
Yeah, the last thing I want to talk to you about here before we talk to Michael Lundy is Ger Lochnan today. Now, it's just so funny. I think we should have a chat about it because Lochnan is just, it's almost Eamon Dunphy territory, this is. It's just complete wind-up merchant stuff. You can't be taken seriously saying this stuff, but we'll tell you what he's saying anyways. He's basically saying that Brian Cody should step down from Kilkenny. He's taken him as far as he can. If he stays any longer, he's doing the team harm. He quoted Sean Boylan leaving Mead in a bad state. He quoted Mick O'Dwyer leaving Kerry in a bad state. He says, does he think he's indispensable to Kilkenny, that he owns the job? You know, just real silly stuff, you know. And you could maybe make the case for Mick O'Dwyer in the late 80s that he stayed very loyal to lads that won the All-Ireland. But like, Micka was there from 1975, like, you know, he was there for 14 years. He changed the team a lot. Sean Boylan could have stepped down in 1995. That team was gone to the end. Sean Boylan had three different teams. He came back, won the All-Ireland in 1996. Who's to say Brian Cody won't come back next year and win the All-Ireland? To say Brian Cody should step down, Brian Cody's had about four different teams now. It's not like he's sticking with the same fellas. And he's the opposite of loyal to fellas. He's cutthroat. He'll get rid of you immediately if your form's not
Jackie
good.
Jackie Tyrrell this year.
Yeah.
Last thing we saw, Jackie Tyrrell was in the league quarterfinal against Clare. He got the curly finger early on. That was the last we saw Jackie Tyrrell for the year. And that's a James Stevens man like Brian Cody. Brian Cody, you know, he commands loyalty, but he doesn't certainly show it at times. He's ruthless to an effect that Ger Lochnan could only wish to have. I find it kind of ironic as well that Ger, and who's a fantastic pundit on his day, he's top notch. But earlier this year, he referred to this Kilkenny team as functional. And that was a huge compliment in a way to Brian Cody. So Brian Cody won an All-Ireland with a merely functional team. 12 months on, Brian Cody's not good enough anymore. Listen, Brian Cody, there was people calling for his head back in the early noughties. Now Kilkenny mightn't win an All-Ireland next year, but they're certainly going to do something. You're going to have to stop Kilkenny to win an All-Ireland, there's no doubt about that. Like, and there's still a question mark over Tipperary being able to do back-to-backs.
They
haven't done it since
Kilkenny were gone 3 years ago. They came back and won two in a row when Cork beat them down in Thurles. They were gone. Henry was gone. This team was breaking up, and then they come back. Clare were the new kids on the block, and then to come back and win two in a row, you know. So it's madness to start saying that.
He's the great reinventor, Woolley.
He is.
Yeah, watch it now.
And the players are terrified of him. Like, even JJ does the podcast here. JJ is still afraid of, like, still has that kind of respect for him. Like, there's no better man. I think we're analysing it too much, because I think Lochnan would be listening to this laughing if he listens to GAR saying, I was actually taking the piss there, because he must be taking the piss.
Well, I'll say one thing though. Come to Walsh Park, the Walsh Cup. Usually, it's very noticeable after Kilkenny failed to win an All Ireland that Brian has a kind of a media ban during the Walsh Cup. He won't let players speak after. Watch it now. It'll be interesting to see what happens in January, because he likes to keep things quiet. You know, Kilkenny are working behind the closed doors, as we all know, but he doesn't want to give any ammunition to other teams. He wants Kilkenny to be the team that takes it out of somebody else.
I'd love to, unless there's something personal between Cody and Loughnane, I'd love to see the two of them meet and see how Loughnane, because he's digging at them a while now, you know, and they're two big men. It would be a real heavyweight battle. They would have played against each other, wouldn't they? Cody always just seems to say, ah, Jerry's a character. Doesn't seem to get involved in it. But like, I mean, he's a manager. Cody's trying to wind him up. Cody's not going to fall for it. Or Loughnane's winding him up. But it's funny to watch. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. John, thanks very much for all that. Listen, next up, we're going to talk to Cora Finn's Michael Lundy.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens, and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving, and I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera showed it didn't look great, there was, maybe if they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually, it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out 30, but unlucky to lose. Like,
AIB, backing club and county.
All right, delighted to say Micheál Lundy is on the line now. Cora Finn's Micheál Lundy and Galway's Micheál Lundy. Micheál, how's it going? The last time I talked to you was in Las Vegas for the Conor McGregor-Diaz fight.
All's going good, yeah. On the far side of the world now, it's a big change from there, but everything's good over here anyway, so far anyways at the moment, everything's brilliant.
Yeah, so you spent a year in New York, is that right?
I did, yeah, just shortly under a year, maybe 10 to 11 months there, like just came home just before the year finished.
And why did you go?
Why did I go? I suppose it was a unique opportunity. I was available for the grad visa and had a couple of friends over there. It's the thing that always interests me. I always felt like I always wanted to travel, and I suppose I spent two summers in Boston and I kind of loved it over there, and I kind of felt that I wanted to experience it a bit more.
All right, okay. And I suppose the way the club championships are now, you can spend a summer somewhere and you'll still be around, you know, when you get back, it'll still be there, especially with a strong club like Cora Finn.
Yeah, thankfully, like, the way things worked out is perfect. Like, it's nice to come home and still have football to play, like, with the club. And suppose you miss it sometimes when you're away, you miss the club players, you miss just the training and stuff. And luckily enough, the club were in a strong enough position that they were still in the championship when I came home. And thankfully, like, for me, I suppose I got to join back up with them.
Yeah, New York were after you earlier this year, but if you joined them, then that was ruling you out of playing with Cora Finn.
Yeah, it was a tricky situation. I was kind of catch 22 situation. I kind of nearly agreed to play with New York because I suppose the friends I met over there were all going to train in the evenings, and I was kind of stuck at home while they were going to train, and I kind of wanted to be part of it. And Justin Halloran was very good, invited me up to train away with them anyway, so I went up a few times and I got to know a couple of lads and kind of just like felt I wanted to be a part of it. But I suppose luckily enough that I didn't, and it allowed me to play with Cora Finn the last day.
Yeah, it's worked out fairly well for you. What club did you play with out there? Where did you live in New York?
I was living in Queens, I was playing with Donegal, New York, and they were very good with me. They helped set me up with a job when I was over there, and like, thankful to them. Like, there was some great lads over there, and they looked after me fairly well while I was there.
Right, okay. And you got a visa and stuff like that. I thought you might have come home when Donald Trump was looking like being president and he would have ran you home.
No. The visa is all legit. I suppose, luckily enough, I got the visa. But I suppose there's a few people in a different situation over there, a bit scared with him. But hopefully they're all right over there.
Yeah, what do you like over there? Did you miss playing with Galway? And would you keep a good eye on the games at home, or would you try to just keep away from it?
You keep an eye on things. But like, to be fair, like there's so much happening over there. You kind of kept distracted from things and. You didn't really miss the training, but see, when the championship was coming around and the big games around, you'd always know about it, you'd hear about it, you'd be all over social media, and you'd be keeping an eye on it. Sure, you're training away with them for years, and you're so friendly with some of them, like you'd be wishing them the best, like, so of course you keep an eye and an ear out for them, see how they get on, and wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, did you watch the matches? I remember I spent a couple of summers in New York as well, and I found it very hard to watch Leash matches because, you know, there's a part of you, you know, is raging with yourself that you're missing out on things, and then there's another part of you, you know, wants the lads to do well. So it's, you're kind of tormented watching it really early in the morning in America.
Yeah, I suppose, like, there's really the fear of missing out. Like, see, the fear of missing out there, the winning the Connacht title.
Yeah.
So, like, in the end of the day, like, before you play with the county or any player with them, like, you're a fan of the county, so you'd always fall back to that. Like, you'd be a fan long after you're playing, and you're a fan long before you are playing. So it's just delighted for them, really. Like, which I suppose it's disappointing that you miss out on things, but at the end of the day, you're happy out to go always in a stronger position this year than they were last year.
Yeah, no, I think they are, and you'd be looking to get back in there, I'm sure. Talk to us about the game at the weekend. You came back a month before the county final anyway, so what kind of shape did you land back in?
Well, I thought I landed back in all right shape till I seen the lads, and I was training with them, and I was trying to keep up with them, but I suppose it just eased into things, and luckily enough, I got to start through Gary Stice's injury. Only for that, I wouldn't have been starting. And
right, even after being home a month?
There's no guarantees anyways. No,
yeah, geez, they have short memories. They have short memories after that All-Ireland 2 years ago.
But to be fair, it's hard to drop someone who's playing well, like, and they're the boys who got them into that position this year, and sure, the competition is fairly stiff there in the forwards anyways, and Martin Farrer is injured, and he's probably one of the main forwards the last 2 years, and he's coming back now, so competition is only going to be greater.
Is he back training and everything now?
He's back, yeah. He was touch and go for the weekend, and I suppose if we needed him, he could. But luckily enough, the way things planned out, we didn't have to risk him and risk the hamstring anymore. But I suppose it'll be a long break now, and I'm sure he'll be flying fit come February.
Yeah, you certainly didn't need him anyway, because watching the game, like, you couldn't help but be impressed with the way you played. You were back to your very best, but like, St. Bridges were very disappointed. You were mad up for that. Like, I saw Gary Stice having some comments after the game saying these boys have been hanging over us for a long time. Like, were you just tired of St. Bridges? Like, you felt that you owed them one?
I suppose, yeah. Well, like, anything to beat you, I suppose we don't play them too often, but like, I suppose the two nearest ones, the two the ones you remember, like the two probably only meetings I can think of are the ones in 2006, 2011, and the beat. Any team that beats you, and you probably haven't beaten in a while, like, of course you want to beat them, and you want to get one up, we'll get one over on them.
Yeah, is there niggle between the two teams, or?
No, I suppose it's after 2011, like, there was a lot of, initially they were kind of blaming everyone but ourselves, but then when you look back at it, like, when you look back at the video, like, we know one to blame but ourselves, like, but I suppose just in the circumstance we lost in 2006 when I was watching, I was only a young lad, I had not to do with the senior panel, but it was a last minute goal that beat Carrafin, and then in 2011 we kind of left it behind as we got too caught up in the whole whatever was going on between the scenes, like, but we just felt we left two games behind us that we should have won, and then we just make sure that was going to happen today or on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw Gary mention something Frankie had said, saying that they were the better team or something. Where did he make those comments, Frankie Dolan? Because I was looking for them, I didn't see them anywhere. He was on the podcast, this podcast last week, and he was pretty complimentary towards Cara Finn. So where did Gary see those comments? Was it local?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't read into anything myself, so I can't see. I don't know where he read them or did he read them, but I suppose it was just after the public interview was given after the game. He was a bit wound up and stuff, like, so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe some players need that kind of extra motivation, maybe.
Oh, yeah, whatever it was that motivated him, hopefully he'll find some of it the next day again, like, because keep him motivated, like, he'll keep performing like he is, so we won't complain.
Yeah, he's playing very well. Talk to us about Cara Finn's style of play, Micheál. Who developed this? Was it Stephen Rochford? Because to watch you play is just, it's beautiful to watch, and it must be brilliant to be a forward on that team, because you just get lovely direct kick pass ball when you make those runs, you're being spotted.
I suppose it is. When Stephen Rochford came in, he kind of improved everything. Everything was there, but I suppose the younger lads came through, I suppose it was, you have brilliant forwards coming through, Martin Farrer, Ian Burke, like, Mike Farrer has moved into the forwards now, and like, sure, when you have quality there, I suppose he played to our strengths, and I suppose, like, you get the ball in quick, it'll suit any forward, and I suppose Stephen kind of developed it. It's not something that we work on too much, but I suppose we get to try and move the ball as quick as possible, like, because sometimes some of the forwards we have aren't the most physical, so if we can keep the ball moving, we can keep all the contact, probably suit us better.
Yeah, it's a real traditional kind of brand, like a good quick ball, a layoff, and another tasty ball then into the full forward line. You know, it's traditional football, and you don't really see that all that much anymore.
Yeah, I suppose, like, but a lot of people dwell on it, but I suppose people like to focus more on the negative sides of football. Like, but I suppose there's definitely plenty of going on around the country, and I suppose if we're playing it and it's advertising it like that, you can play football and you can win games, and it's nice to, like, it's more enjoyable to play an attractive side and play fast football, move the ball quickly and kicking the ball, like, it's one of the first, like, things you practice as a young lad, so everyone's well able to do it, and I suppose we just play to our strengths and move the ball quickly into the forward line.
Yeah. So you're home for good now, Micheál, are you? Or for the foreseeable future?
For the foreseeable future, you don't never know what holds in the, what's going to come in the future, but I'm home anyway until February. There's a big game to be played, and I'll be sticking around to Lynn, and hopefully, however that goes, with whatever that finishes with the club, join in with the Galway set up, see how we get on there, and hopefully stake a claim in the squad and maybe hopefully push for a place on the starting team there.
Yeah, have you talked to Kevin Walsh since you got home? Or
I've been in contact with just the selectors, just keeping an eye out. I told him, like they're interested in playing, like, so see, just trying to improve, like, my first aim really was to get back in the Clarfin setup, and I was luckily enough that I got in earlier than expected because through an injury, but from the other panel players. But I suppose just trying to build up my own form and build up my own fitness here, just improve it as much as I can, then hopefully get a chance to go and maybe get a call in for a trial or whatever the setup is. I'm not sure.
Yeah. What's your favourite position, Micheál? Because I've said on the podcast before that Galway play you out of position on the wing, that you're given too much defensive work there, and you could be spending the game chasing Lee Keegan instead of actually holding the half forward line and, you know, making offensive runs rather than, you know, doing a lot of defensive work. Like, is that central position, centre forward or full forward, your favourite place to play?
I don't know. I suppose when I was growing up underage, I always played number 10, and I suppose very excited that nailed down for the last couple of years. So I suppose it's just wherever else you can get a position. I don't think there is a particular position, like 14, 10. I'm happy to play in the fours. Like, the style of football that we play in Corfin, it doesn't matter where you're playing, like, you know you're going to get chances. And I'm happy just to be on the team, really, to be honest. This year I would have played anywhere. I've listed as 15 the last day, just kind of really getting developed, kind of made my runs further out the field.
You were drifting, yeah.
Yeah, just happy to play in any position. I'm, like, happy, like, so if you get on the Galway team, like, you have to take whatever position you're given. Like, the county team, they're harder to make, and so you'd be happy to play anywhere.
Yeah, but I suppose the point I'm making is wing forward positions are not like they used to be. You know, there's an awful lot of work attached to them, whereas, you know, I'd see you more as an offensive weapon than having to, like Dear McConnelly often, I think he does too much work in the half forward line where he should be used maybe more offensively.
Yeah, I suppose when you're forward, like, you want to be in attacking positions, but the way it is these days, even in intercounty, like, you're playing the top counties, cornerbacks go forward just as much as the wingbacks.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You're, like, the best of the name of the back, I suppose, is they're trying to exploit your weakness to try and get you on the defensive side, just take you away from the goal. So no matter where you're playing these days, you're kind of going to be dragged away from goal and just set up defensively, but I suppose the closer you are to goal, the more chance you score, and every forward wants to score. Like, that's part of the game. Like, but you'd have to play anywhere because you're going to have to defend at some stage in this modern game. Everyone seems to want to bomb forward and take the forward out of the position, take them away from the far away from the goal if they can.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Just to finish up, Micheál, because we talked about this at the top of the show, what's the plan now for the 11 weeks? What do Cara Finn do? Do you get three or 4 weeks off, or do you keep ticking over? You know, because it's such a long break. Every team deals with it in a different way.
Yeah, I suppose I'm not really sure because we're this week off, but we're kind of get a run around Friday because we have to play a league final on Sunday with a league final against Tuam. So after that, I suppose the management we meet up Friday, we'll have a plan for the 11 weeks and hopefully like a week or two off or whatever. I'm not sure, but like there'll be some sort of it might be off field, there'll be gym programs done, like, but I suppose you can't take the step off the foot off the pedal too much, or else you're like, you don't want to be falling back, like, trying to build up fitness in the middle of January when you're only a couple of weeks out from the game. So it's a tricky one, and I suppose it's up to management. Whatever they believe is right, well, I suppose we'll all buy into it.
Yeah, would you be in favour of finishing the whole year in the calendar year and not having this kind of 3 or 11 week break over Christmas at all?
The whole Paddy's Day thing is a great occasion, I suppose, when you it's something you look back on when you're younger. You always remember. That's what I remember. My earliest memory of St. Patrick's Day is going in, watching the club final. So
yeah,
it's something special about it. But I suppose then you have the break. You want to get it over. But I suppose the sooner it's over, like if you're finished before the calendar year, you don't get too much of a break for the FBDs and the National League start with the county team. Like, so there's kind of a catch 22 situation. Not sure what's the best, but I suppose it's nice to have a couple of weeks off. Maybe we get a couple of weeks off, enjoy the Christmas, and I suppose when you come back, it's hard to know which is the best way or which is the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, that's for us to debate. You have an All-Ireland semi-final to worry about. Listen, it's great to have you back. Thanks for taking the call, Micheál.
No problem. Cheers. Thanks a million.
All right, up next, we'll take a look ahead to the weekend's club action.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D, we're at home by where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient. But this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground, and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around it. But you're looking at me. You're looking
well,
at me.
Out of a crowded area, isn't it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
Club games at the weekend, not a box office weekend, but not a bad weekend because we are in December. I'm here with Conor Heenahan.
That's right, Willie. Yeah.
Yes, I got that right.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, thank God. From Joe, I was going to say .ie there, but we're not that anymore.
Not
are
anymore.
We?
Not since last night, I think. So
this is two in a row now. You've made your debut last week, and now listen, two in a row. Could you never know?
I'm eyeing Conor's share. I haven't told him yet. But
Conor made a mistake bringing you in last week. That was his problem. What the big? Okay, I was going to start off. There's games on Saturday. Three games this Saturday on 3rd of December, and there's three games on Sunday. And there's a really interesting one. And you actually have friends on this team. It's Dunedin Connolly's. They're an Edinburgh club, and they're playing Rose and Alice from Laois in the Junior Football Championship quarter, All Ireland quarter final. In junior football, so that's a really interesting one.
Yeah, very much so. They beat the lads beat John Mitchell's of Liverpool there in the British final there a couple weeks ago.
Sounds weird, doesn't it?
I know, very much so. Yeah, but that's a big scalp because like John Mitchell's have been like
John Mitchell's a Liverpool.
Oh,
I'm telling
big
you,
time. Yeah. Stalwart
Cross
to the
McGlenn
UK game.
And John
yeah, so it went extra time actually, and the two lads that I know, Sean Malley's from my own club, Calchmaa Mayo. And Frank Malloy, who's from my neighbouring club, Moy Davitts. So the two of them play in the full forward line. And they got 1-7 between them in the fight. It was after extra time I went to. But it's interesting, like Frank is 39 years old. He would have got a few run-outs with Mayo in the league a few years ago. And he scored 1-4 from corner forward. I think he kind of wanders as a corner forward. And Shawnee scored 3 points. Shawnee would have got run-outs with Mayo as well. He used to play soccer for Galway United. So There's plenty of pedigree in them, you know.
So but you're getting run-outs for Mayo, you're playing junior football, you're going to get a few from
yeah,
play there.
Exactly, yeah. So he tells me, I don't know, you'd know more about Rose and Alice, but Sean tells me that these Dunedins would give like a few Mayo intermediate teams a good game. Like,
right.
So sounds like they're pretty decent standard anyway.
Yeah, okay. And like I'm sure a team spirit of a team, you know, an Irish kind of community in Edinburgh, there's a nice closely knit community and they're all in it together. So
oh,
I'd say there is a good club spirit over there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to try and describe the Snapchats that I got on the Monday after the final on the Sunday, but let's say they might have seeped into the Tuesday, let's say.
Are they called county finals over there? What are they called?
I couldn't even tell you. I think it's British finals, but it sounded really, as you said earlier on, it sounded really weird.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they played that one in Edinburgh, I'm pretty sure. And maybe that wasn't in Edinburgh, but this one's in Edinburgh. That must be a huge advantage for them as well, like to have
the travelling. And you know like you're, if you're heading to Edinburgh and you're a junior footballer, you're going to associate Edinburgh with a stag, and you know you want to be under lock and key on the Saturday on the Friday night. Another big game on Saturday is Selbridge and Carrick Shock. Selbridge obviously Kildare and Carrick Shock Kilkenny. Carrick Shock are interesting. We're going to do a video on them ahead of this game, one of the AIB videos. They were in the 2013 county final. They were favourites to win it against Clara. They were leading the game by 2 points with 4 minutes to go. You might remember that Lester Ryan free that tap over. He went for the goal, broke their hearts, found himself struggling the next 2 years, got relegated in 2015, back into intermediate this year, brought in a new manager. His name is Tommy Shefflin. He is a brother of the great Henry Shefflin, and they won intermediate and now in their Leinster final, so they're back up senior. But listen to the team these lads have to have gone back down intermediate. They've John Tennyson, they've John Dalton, they've Michael Rice, who've all played senior, they've Richie Power, who've all played senior with Kilkenny, John Power, senior Kilkenny. Gosh. They've Jamie Power as well, a third brother who hasn't played senior yet. They have David Franks, if you remember him, play cornerback for Offaly back in the day. He's moved to the local area, so he's playing with them. They should not be intermediate.
I don't know.
Like, this is what we're going to find out in the video tonight, yeah, because that's just bizarre that a team with that many county players will be back down to intermediate. So, looking ahead to this game, I don't know much about Selbridge, but I would feel a little bit concerned for Selbridge as
I wouldn't be holding out too much hope, I'm afraid, no. But, no. Like those guys are... all those guys are slightly over 30. I know a couple of them had some serious, like Richie Power and Michael Rice would have had some serious injuries. But you look at, I'm probably going to talk about O'Loughlin Gales. Martin Cumbert's still doing it at 39.
He's still doing it. Got four from play the last day.
Like at that level, they're just, it's crazy how influential kind of ex-intercounty players can be. Yeah. So celebrate.
Richie Power actually is only an impact sub. Like, he should still be playing. Richie Power's not old. He's just, his knee is absolutely in an awful state.
Kilkenny missed him. Yeah. You know, like, the Kilkenny senior team missed him. Like, you know, he was that kind of that presence in the full forward. Yeah. I thought they missed him last year. But if he can still do a job.
Yeah, he's more had to retire than want to retire from the intercounty game. It's unfortunate. He actually told me before he had to teach himself to walk again, that his limp was so bad from his knee injuries that he had to actually concentrate on actually walking. Which is just horrible for someone, you know, who put in so much into Kilkenny to be left with injuries like that.
Yeah.
And he's still, you know, playing through the pain barrier with his club. So fair play. There's another game, a Leinster Junior Hurling Championship final between Moon Coyne and Ratoat. That's Moon Coyne from Kilkenny and Ratoat from Meath. Not sure there'll be a huge crowd at that, but look, I'm just going to draw your attention to it anyway. Big one on Sunday then is O'Loughlin Gales, the one you mentioned against Coola. Coola obviously beaten disappointingly last year by Owlart de Balla. Back in a Leinster final again, a really good team on paper. O'Loughlin Gales, like, their team doesn't jump out at massively. You know, they have Bergen at full forward, Martin Comfort still going strong and full in corner forward. But they're just, you know, they're a solid, good, experienced, big physical team.
The names that jumped out were the ones you said there, and couldn't help but notice that I think Mark Bergen scored 1-8 against Owlert from full forward, and he scored 11 points in the county final against Ballyhale as well. But I don't know, can you read much into kind of... Like, they beat Owlert, who beat Coola last year. So, like, I don't know how much that makes of a difference.
That never works. Well, you can actually make an argument for anything going along with that. It's, their full forward line against Owlert got 113 between them. Johnson in corner forward, Martin Comfort got four from play. Johnson got a goal. You know, so they have danger in there. And, you know, like, Coola seemed to have dangerous forwards as well. You know, Sutcliffe, they've got the Tracys. And, like, they are a bloody solid team too.
Conor Callaghan, did he score Conor like 5-6 in two games? Conor Callaghan is 4-3.
Yeah, we got 4-3 the last day against the Carlow champions. And, you know, last year, I don't think the game suited Coola. I remember watching it, and Owlert played a pretty defensive game, and it was a bad day in Dr. Cullen Park. This would be a completely different game. They might be able to hurl a little bit more. Owlert frustrated the life out of them last year, and there was a really strong wind as well. So I think this is the potential to be an absolute cracker.
Very much so, and it's only, I think the bookies have Coola very, very, very slight favourites. And I know from I went to college with Shane Stapleton. He's going to be on the bench this weekend.
Yeah,
I think
he's only coming on for them, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he went to after he was kind of delaying going travelling last year, so he went eventually after they got knocked out. So by the time he came back, he would have been a few months behind. I'll just tell him he's not good enough.
Listen, I'm telling you one thing. When we heard from Micheál Lundy earlier in the show, and he landed back a month before the county final, and he only got on the team because Gary Sice got injured. So that's a month, and he's their best. He was their best forward when they won the All Ireland, and he's having to, you know. So you're not guaranteed positions on these strong clubs.
No, not at all.
And poxy.
Somebody like Lundy, you'd imagine, would expect just to walk back in. I was watching the Cara Finn Bridges game. He did start out. He was excellent, but it's really hard to stand out in that Cara Finn forward line.
There's something electric about Lundy, though. Lundy just has that, you know, that electrifying pace that, like, when you have that. You know, you just find yourself getting up off your seat a little bit when Lundy's on the ball.
Especially at club level too.
Yeah, especially at club level.
When the weather gets better after Christmas as well, he'll be much better too.
Yeah, exactly. There's two other games on Sunday. There's a Munster Club Junior Football Championship final between Gabrielle Rangers, hope I pronounced that right, and Glen Bay Glen Carr. gee, I should really proofread these before. Like, for the first time looking at these with my read script reading ability. Also, Junior Hurling Championship final between Mayfield and Cork. That's an easy one. And Ballyduff Lower from Waterford. That's in Mallow at 1:30. That's all your club action at the weekend. Hope you enjoy it. We are going to be back next Wednesday. Connor, thanks very much for helping us out there. We might go 3 in a row next week.
No problem.
That'd be great. Right, we'll see you next Wednesday at the same time. Good luck.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.